It seems like it's been months since I was last here sharing with you. It doesn't feel like I've been away because I've been here in the auditorium for the last couple of weeks and everything all looks familiar, but I haven't seen your faces for such a long time. I reckon the last sermon I preached was in Uganda. When was that? When were we in Uganda, Damien? It seems such a long time ago now. Middle of April. What are we now? Start of June. How many weeks is that? 6 weeks. I haven't preached a message in 6 weeks. Oh my gosh, you should have seen how fired up I was last week. Pentecost Sunday, I felt a word inside my spirit. I really wanted to preach, and then 7 o'clock Sunday morning, I'm out of bed and throat is really croaky. And me being the kind of, at times can be a bit rebellious, I'm thinking, how can I get to church, like try and hide the croakiness in my voice? Because I just want to be here with you guys. And I just had a message I wanted to share with you guys. And just Sharon said, you can't come to church. So I knew that. So thanks for praying for me. I'm all well. I'm better. I'm good. Thanks to the Lord. But it's so good to be back here sharing with you this morning. Amen. Amen. I don't know, Damien, if there's a photo up there, I'm just going to stand out of the road. So that's a photo of me in Uganda. And just a bit of context around that photo is we're doing a home visit. And I'll stand out of the way just so you can all see it. But we're doing a home visit, which basically means you're going right out into the bush to visit the families of the students that go to the school at Wasawa. And so this is probably about 6-7 k's from the school. And so I go out into this village. This woman doesn't speak a word of English. So you can imagine like the communication barrier that's going on here. Thankfully I had the head teacher, Alan, with me. Because otherwise, I think, if you excuse my expression, but all hell would have broken loose if I had been there and not been able to communicate. I had to cook a meal for them. So good luck with that. When you're trying to ask for where's this and where's that, and they got no idea what you're talking about. But Alan introduced me as a pastor from Australia, and she straight away, she went and gave me the biggest hug. The biggest hug. Hasn't met me at all before. As soon as I walked up, Alan introduced him. I mean, she knew who Alan was, but then he said, this is a pastor from Australia. And she just came and gave me the biggest hug. And it just blessed me so much. And obviously, you know, you guys have been going to Uganda over a number of years. But they actually got 4 kids that go to the Wasawa school. And these guys are just so appreciative of what you guys do when it comes to giving your finance to keep that school running. Their kids get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They leave by 5:30 to walk the 6.5 kilometres to school. That's just one way. And there's such humility and there's such respect and there's such honour about these people, you know, and they know that we are making a difference in their lives. So I just threw that up there just last minute. I just want to encourage you. You know, we've got an advanced conference that's coming up at the end of this month. You know, for 12 years we've been, we've been looking after and basically running that school, and it has changed so many lives. You don't underestimate. You need to go over there. I kind of encourage you. You need to go over there and see it. Look, check what your investment's gone into and to see what an incredible school it is. 335 kids. Started with 25. There's 335 children. It's impacting a community like you'd never believe. And, you know, we know education, it goes a long way, breaking the cycle of poverty over people's lives. And so your kids are wanting to go to school. They're wanting to walk the 6.5 kilometres each. That's one way each day. You know, you get to school by 7:30, so they are educated because they know they value education. A bit different here in Australia than in Uganda. They value education. And so, you know, we've done a lot over the last 12 years, but there's still a lot to do. You know, I just want to encourage you, you know, keep praying. Advanced Missions Conference, you know, really what we do is we're faith pledging for the next 12 months, and out of that we draw up a budget, you know, and there are so many things. Sharon and I, when we went over there, God put some stuff in our heart that we want to see the Wasawa school grow. We're hearing stories about the kids who graduate out of year seven to go to high school. There's a 25-30% dropout rate because it's too far to go into Lagazi. They can't afford it, or it's a dangerous road to travel going through the cane fields, you know. And so, man, we want to do something about that. There are kids there who have got dreams of being pilots and being lawyers and being doctors, but we don't want distance to prevent them from fulfilling their dream. Or we don't want the fear of being attacked, because they're walking, starting out in the dark and they're coming home in the dark. So they don't want the fear of being attacked to rob them of their dream or God's dream for their lives. And so, you know, just continue to pray. Ask the Lord what it is He's putting on your heart. Don't give out of what you have, but trust God through faith. What is it that He wants you to give? And I'll tell you what, we'll see things like that. People come up and hug. I really will see that in heaven. When people find out, oh, you came from Dream Builders Church, bang, there's going to be a great big hug. Because of Dream Builders Church, not only are kids and there'll be people getting educated, but there'll be kids and people that have been exposed and brought to the Lord. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in heaven. So that's an incredible thing. It's an awesome thing. You guys are doing incredible. I think, you know, we punch above our weight. But you know what? Ephesians 3 verse 20. What does that say? God can do more than we, what is it? Exceedingly more, abundantly more than we ask or think or imagine. So I just want to encourage you with that. I think, what we're doing in Africa is incredible, and I think there's more we can do. There's no limit. Who can limit God? Who can limit the Lord? Good luck with that, because you can't. He's unlimited. He's unlimited. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So last week, Pentecost Sunday. As I said, I wanted to share a word, but I had to give my notes to Sharon. How'd she go? She did all right. Last minute. Don't you like putting people on the spot last minute? I hate being put on the spot last minute, so, because that's happened a few times. But Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, the Spirit being poured out on all flesh. In the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit was poured out on certain individuals. In the New Testament, poured out on all flesh. Thank God for Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit's been poured out not just on the Jews, but on the Gentiles as well, which we are of that kind, that breed, if that makes sense. We are Gentiles. So thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit's been poured out on all flesh. But I love the lead up to Pentecost, because in the lead up to Pentecost, Jesus ascends to heaven and He tells the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, or the promise, or what was promised by Jesus would come, which was the Holy Spirit. So what they do, Acts chapter 1 verse 14, is that they don't just wait in Jerusalem, but they go into a place where they meet together to pray together. So Acts chapter 1 verse 14, they're meeting and they're praying together until the promise of the Father is revealed, or the promise of the Father, Holy Spirit, comes. So for 10 days, they're up in this room, meeting together, praying together, fellowshipping together, maybe worshipping together. Acts chapter 2 verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, while they were in that room in one accord, meeting together, praying together, fellowshipping together, the Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit was poured out. I can't understate the importance of meeting together, gathering together, praying together. I can't understate the importance of praying together. Holy Spirit was poured out. And then Peter preaches this message. And the message, you know, 3,000 people were saved. But he pulls a prophecy. He pulls a prophecy from 750 years earlier. He pulls that and says, hey, this is what's happening today. It's what the prophet Joel spoke about 750 years ago when he said that God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And so in a sense, they're in that moment fulfilling prophecy. How awesome would it be? Sharon may have said this out of my notes, but how awesome would it be I'm not preaching Pentecost message again. This is a different message. But I thought, it's in my heart. It's in my spirit. I've got to get it out. Okay? How important would it be, or how incredible would it be if we're meeting together every day, connecting together, fellowship and praying together every day, and then the Holy Spirit starts to move and the Holy Spirit's poured out afresh again. And then someone stands up here and says, you know what? This is what was spoken about by so-and-so years ago. You know, since I've been here 4 years now, I don't know how many people have told me that revival's coming to Tasmania. Who's heard that? People have spoken, revival's coming to Tasmania. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, who was a prophetic evangelist back in the early 20th century, he's from England, from Yorkshire, but he spoke over the nation of Australia and New Zealand, the Pacific Islands, and said the last great move of God would happen in Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific Islands. How awesome would it be if we're just meeting together and just going after God and praying to God and seeking God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit moves, someone jumps up and says, hey, this is what Smith Wigglesworth spoke about, and you know what? It started here in Tasmania. Do we believe revival is coming to Tassie? Well, I think this is a divine pattern, the last half of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. A divine pattern. The disciples of Jesus were meeting together regularly, praying together, worshiping together. They were positioning themselves for a move of God. You know, we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is two chapters after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The disciples gathered together again to pray again, because of the threats of the religious leaders. So they get in a room again to pray again, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fills the room, it shakes the room, and then it fills every individual, every disciple. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit, and then they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. See, I see it's a divine pattern. I see it's a paradigm that I really feel strongly that we need to walk in. And I talk about a paradigm, Old Testament paradigm. Old Testament paradigm is, everyone, the men particularly, but most people went to Sabbath once a week, on the Saturday, once a week to Sabbath. Come to New Testament, they're meeting together every day. You read Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. That's the reality. Under the Old New Testament paradigm, they meet together every day to pray, to sit under the word, to worship, to have communion. Old Testament paradigm, once a week. Old Testament paradigm, it's law, it's guilt, it's shame, it's judgment. New Testament paradigm, it's grace, it's freedom, it's mercy. Amen? So what paradigm are we living in, or are we living under? Are we living under an Old Testament paradigm, or are we living under a New Testament paradigm? Read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. That's what I think New Testament Christianity under the New Testament paradigm looks like. And unfortunately, the Western church, we've kind of really drifted away from that. So I'm just sharing my heart this morning. So I just want to encourage you. I know many of you are coming together on Sunday mornings to pray and Sunday nights to pray. But how cool would it be if we prayed every day? Not just prayed every day, but we actually met together to pray every day. Well, that's a bit extreme. That's a bit extreme. I don't have to, you know, we can make up excuses why we don't do that. And there are many reasons why we don't do that and why we can't do that. But maybe one of those reasons is pride. Maybe because of pride. It's, you know, pride speaks about self-sufficiency and being in control. And I just think of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and would pray and would seek my face. This is God speaking to Solomon, King Solomon. He basically says, When I shut the heavens and there's no rain and the locust comes to devour the land, if I shut the heavens, then you need to humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, would pray and would seek my face, and they would turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. I think we're in a great place of history here. Well, it's not history; it's the present. I really feel God wants to move, but are we restricting God from moving? Is probably what I'm saying. Do we restrict God from moving? We hear all these prophecies about revival coming to Tassie. I don't want to be in a generation where we miss that, and then the next generation rises up, and you know, I want to see revival happen now. Is there anyone with me on this? I know some of you have been praying. You've been praying for so long to see a move of God. But I think, you know, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2 is divine template. You know, if we gather together, we're doing it regularly. You know, don't just leave it for once a week or once a fortnight. That to me is living under an old paradigm. We're living under a new paradigm now. And that new paradigm, they're meeting every day. And they're praying every day. And they're seeking a move of God every day. And they're seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. I know Pentecost can't be repeated. It's a once-off event. But you read through the book of Acts, the disciples always positioned themselves to be filled with the Spirit of God again and again and again. Ephesians 5 verse 18, Paul says, you know, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Be filled, present tense, continuous verb. It means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't just get filled once and then that's it. We need continual fillings of the Holy Spirit. This is my heart as a church. I want to see all Smithland get saved. I want to see the Circular Head community get saved. I want to see Tasmania get saved. I want to see Australia get saved. But I think we have to play a part. God wants to move, but we have to play a part. We need to position ourselves. And so, sorry, I just wanted to say that because it's in my spirit. And you might be hearing a lot of that a bit. Might be hearing a bit of this, I don't know how to say that, ongoing. What's that? Let it out. I haven't preached for 6 weeks. Last time I preached in Uganda, it was incredible. And so something's been stirring. This has been stirring up me for a while. And yeah, I just needed to share it. That's why I wanted to be here last week. Oh man, I had so much to share last week. But it wasn't meant to be. Sharon did it for me. But anyway, this morning, very quickly, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. We've been doing our theme for this year since February, since Vision Sunday. Our theme for this year has been Come Holy Spirit. And it's from an ancient prayer that was first formed back in the 13th century, I believe. Come Holy Spirit, fill thy hearts with your fire and your love. It's a Catholic prayer. So this is our theme for this year. Come Holy Spirit. And so pretty much most of this year in our preaching and even in our connect groups, we've been looking on and discovering more about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning represented as a dove, which is a well-known phrase, and a well-known attribute of the Spirit is that of a dove. And you find that in Jesus, particularly around Jesus' baptism. So let's have a look at that this morning. Let's have a look at Jesus' baptism and let's have a look at and discover a little bit more about the Holy Spirit as a dove. Is that okay? Sorry, but I'm just going to say it doesn't matter if it's not, because this is what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart. And so I'm just going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit this morning. So let's have a look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is a record about Jesus' baptism. It's found in all four Gospels. But Matthew 3:16, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting on him. So you can read through all four Gospels and you'll see very similar accounts. When Jesus was baptized, when he went under the water, as he came out, the Holy Spirit came and rested on him like a dove. Why did the Holy Spirit reveal himself as a dove at that time? I don't know. Why didn't the Holy Spirit reveal himself as an eagle? You know, like a powerful bird. An eagle that hunts snakes, an eagle that kills snakes, and an eagle that eats snakes for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. Have we got a picture of an eagle up there? Can you see that picture? How awesome if the Holy Spirit had to come as an eagle. A fighting bird, a bird that hunts snakes and eats snakes. Wouldn't that be incredible if we had the Holy Spirit by our side who just hunted and ate Satan and his demons for breakfast? Or when they attacked us, you know, and we got the Holy Spirit who would just come in and just go, man, bang. Why didn't he come as a powerful eagle? We don't know. But he came as a powerful, well, he came as a dove. We don't know the reason why. But I always ask that question, why couldn't he have come as that powerful eagle? We don't know why. But he came as a dove. And I think, I say I don't know why, I think there is actually a reason why. I think there's something about a dove that reveals the nature and the character of God. And we might just look at that just for a quick moment. You all okay? So three attributes of the Holy Spirit that comes from the symbolism of a dove. The first one is peace. So if we can put the next photo up, Damien. So I think in many cultures, in many religions, over generations of time, the dove is a representation of peace. And we would all know that. And so the Holy Spirit is one who comes to bring peace into our lives. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace. And there's patience, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, and there's self-control. The Holy Spirit produces this in our life. The Holy Spirit produces peace in our lives. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, this is exactly what flows out of our lives. There's love, there's joy, there's peace. You know, last week, Sharon spoke about, out of my notes, but she spoke about, you know, joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness, in a sense, with happiness, it's conditioned by what's going on around us. So if family's going good, relationships are going good, marriage is going good, work is going good, we tend to be in a happy space. But if our relationships are going bad, marriage is going bad, work is going bad, we tend to become unhappy. Whereas joy, the joy of the Lord is internal. It's an internal thing. And that's why you can notice that when people are going through a hard time, are going through a rough time, yet they can still have this joy about them. They can still kind of radiate this joy, and you kind of think, well, why is that? How is that? Well, it's because they're filled with the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God fills them, the Spirit of God comes out, and out comes joy. It's the same with peace. Out comes peace. We can have the peace of God because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings peace. I think I used the analogy of a sponge. You soak a sponge in water, put it under the sink, and you apply pressure to it. You press it. What's going to come out? It's water. You put a sponge in oil, and you put it on the sink, and you apply pressure to it. What's going to come out? It's oil. You put it in blue paint, and then you apply it to it. Put it to, on the sink, and then you apply pressure to it. What's going to come out? It's going to be blue paint. See, whatever's inside us, when pressure is applied, it's going to come out. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about where, you know, we have this earthen treasure in jars of clay, but we're pressed and we're crushed on every side. Pressure comes in this life and in this world. Pressure comes, but when pressure comes, it's going to squeeze out what's inside of us. So, you know, what is inside of us I think it's easily seen when the pressure comes to our lives. So in this case, you know, if we've got the Holy Spirit, we're full of the Holy Spirit and pressure comes, then the fruit of the Spirit should be coming out of our lives. Does that make sense? Jesus' words in John 14 verse 27, he says this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift to the world, is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. This is why peace is an internal thing as well. We can't get peace from what happens around us because the world can't give the peace we need. It can't be an external thing. It has to be internal. How can it be internal? Jesus here is speaking about, in the context of John 14, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He actually even says that I need to go away. But don't be afraid, don't worry, because I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another one like me. But then he goes on to say that I'm going to give you this gift of peace. Now tell me this, if Jesus is going away to be with the Father and he's going to separate himself from the disciples, how can he give them the gift of peace? The gift of peace that comes through the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of peace. Go back to Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. He can only produce what is of himself, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Max Licardo says, the Holy Spirit is the calming presence of God in the world today. He will help you defy the voices of fear and draw nigh to the presence of peace. Who knows, we live in a world that's just chaotic at the moment. We live in a world that's just, it seems like it's a bit out of control. But it's not just the world, or it's not just on a world scale, it's not just on a national scale, but what about our personal lives? How are our personal lives going? There are times where our personal lives can become quite chaotic and seem to be out of control. Think about going to the doctor and hearing a report that your blood cell count's gone up. Boom, there goes anxiety. Fear, boom. What about, or you look online and your bank account, your savings account is just gone, is just dropped. Bang, sense of fear, sense of anxiety. Your marriage goes south. COVID is still around and it's still impacting many people. Your work goes off the rails. Your stress goes off the charts. Can't eat, can't sleep at night. A storm rages on within you. And we've probably all been there. We've all experienced elements of that where reports or a doctor's report might be whatever's going on at work can cause great stress and cause great anxiety. It's times like these is when we need the peace of God in our hearts. It's where we need the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us afresh, fill us full of all of these attributes or characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You think back to Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, let's read it. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness. Do you reckon we can just turn those heaters off, don't we, please? That's all right. Is anyone cold? Are you all hot? You're cold. You're from Queensland. Is everyone okay? Do we need the heaters on? I'm just starting to sweat. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So the picture of our planet early days was, looks like it was like, it seemed like a hostile environment. There was no order. It just seems it was dark and it was black and it seemed chaotic. But we see the Spirit of God hovering over an earth that seemed like a hostile environment. But have a look at verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. I love this picture in Scripture of the Holy Spirit hovering over what appears to be, to me, a hostile environment. And yet the Godhead is working together to bring peace and to bring order to that which is chaotic, if that makes sense. You've got the Father, God the Father. You've got the Holy Spirit hovering over the water. Then you've got God speaking. God's word is spoken. Who is God's word? It's Jesus. We see the Trinity, the Godhead right there at the beginning in creation. So if we need peace in our lives, peace comes from the Holy Spirit. Second attribute, purity. Now the current culture often sees doves as depicted as pure and innocent creatures or birds. Now, the Old Testament writers even kind of conveyed this kind of purity. So Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. And it says, "How beautiful you are, my darling." I've never preached out of Song of Solomon. I can't believe I'm doing this. "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves." I'm glad it just went there and that's all. If anyone who's read Song of Solomon, it gets like a little bit. Anyway. I have to do a marriage seminar one day and I can use it, but Psalm chapter 68 verse 13, "Even those who lived among the sheepfolds found treasures, doves with wings of silver and feathers of gold." When I think about purity, I think about that furnace, you know, how gold is refined in the furnace. And I really believe this is what the part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what he does in our lives, is to bring purity, is to bring transformation, it's to bring sanctification in our lives. John the Baptist said, "You know, I baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming, who is Jesus, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And to me, fire is a purifying process where, you know, the dross is taken out of the gold. The gold is purified. And in a sense, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to fill us, to live in us, to purify us, to do the work of transformation in our lives so that we become more like Jesus every day. That we're being transformed into the image of Christ. That's His work in our lives. Who needs some transforming? I certainly do. Who needs some purifying? I certainly do. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live and to work in us so that we would be a better picture of who Jesus is. It's like what Bron was sharing in communion. We're meant to be image bearers of Christ. And so, so it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. And I think it's always a good assessment to know whether or not we are being filled or we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I think a good assessment is this: has our language changed and has our behaviour changed? If you go back to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and there was a couple of things that the people noticed. One thing they noticed is that they were drunk. Now, have you ever seen a drunk? Maybe you were one yourself at one time. You ever seen a drunk? Kind of behavior changes. They turn, you know, ever seen an aggressive drunk? You know, as soon as they start taking some alcohol, their behavior changes all of a sudden, bang, they're just going to want to start an argument or they want to go and start a fight. Or have you ever seen a happy drunk? You know, you get a few drinks into a person, they become a happy drunk. When people consume alcohol, because alcohol is a mind-altering substance, their behaviour changes. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, everyone was saying, "Hey, these guys are drunk. These guys are drunk. These are good Jewish people, good Jewish boys, good Jewish girls. They wouldn't be behaving like this unless they're under the influence of alcohol." But Peter says, no, they're not drunk because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what Joel spoke about. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're not to be under the control of other substances other than being under control of the Holy Spirit. Our behaviour changes when we're under the control, where we're filled, we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Our language changes as well. As they spoke in tongues. They glorified God, but they spoke in different tongues. their language had changed. And I think it's always a good reference point. If you want to know an assessment whether or not you're filled with the Holy Spirit, well, has your language changed from last week? Or has it changed from last year? Has it changed from 2 years ago? Has it changed from when you were before Christ, before coming to Christ, to after coming to Christ? Are you still swearing? Are you still cussing? Still pulling people down? Or your behaviour, does your behaviour reflect the behaviour of one being led by the Spirit? I don't know why I got onto that. But the Holy Spirit comes to purify our lives. That's right. And so that's his work, the sanctifying work. So really we shouldn't be doing the things we were doing last year. We shouldn't be doing those things today. If you're stuck in bad behaviour, sinful behaviour, well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that helps us break free from that. And lastly, the Holy Spirit has, has feminine qualities. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's a she, okay? I'm not saying God is a she. But when you look at the stories of the baptism of Jesus, when the dove is referenced, it's written in feminine form. So, I came across an article the other day about doves, and it kind of fit what I wanted to share this morning. So it comes from the article out of a newspaper, the Irish Examiner. The heading was Application of Science. Only mammals make milk, right? Now, the author is Dr. Naomi Lavelle, and she says, doves are commonly considered a symbol of motherhood. Now, I think, and when you look at the biblical writers and you break down the word of the Holy Spirit in both Old and New Testament, it's written in feminine form. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's a she. I'm not saying God is a she, but maybe there are qualities that we see in mums, and those qualities are God-like qualities. If that makes sense. So hear me, you hear me here? Okay, I don't want to get into heresy or anything like that. Every time God is referenced, El Shaddai and Elohim, it's referenced in the Old Testament. It's in the masculine form. But there's something about the qualities of a mum that I think have the characteristics of, or godly characteristics, if that makes sense. After all, we're made in his image, yeah? Male and female are made in the image of God. But just think about it. When you were young and reckless and risky, or taking risk, and you hurt yourself, out of mum and dad, who would you run to? Who would be the first person you'd run to out of mum and dad? Who? Mum. If we hurt ourselves, we fell out of a tree, say, for example, and we, you know, damaged ourselves, we're crying. Who would we generally would run to mum first? Why? Why would we run to mum first? Is anyone game to throw out some? Yes, exactly. There's a nurturing and a compassionate and an empathetic nature about mum that sometimes dad doesn't possess. And so when you hurt yourself, the first option, I'm going to mum because mum's got that compassion, got that soft touch. She's gentle. She has that nurturing nature. She wants to give me a big hug to make everything all right. Go to dad. When I was growing up, you go to dad. He'd be like, just pull your socks up, mate. Just grow up. Stop crying. Be a man. Would that be kind of other people's kind of experience? Definitely. So there's this nurturing, comforting, gentle, there's a kindness. Not saying dads aren't this, but it just seems that that's my experience anyway. And I think it's our experience that there's the nature of a mum is just seems to be more empathetic and more compassionate. It's same if you're having issues at school. If there was trouble going on at school, I'm not going to dad first. I'm going to mum. Because mum's a bit of a listener and she might take my side. You know, and she might It's just that compassionate, that empathetic nature of a mum. Go to dad, and that could be a boot up the backside if it was like, you know what I mean? But I think this is what this whole dove, you know, I think part of it is what it reveals to us. There's this nurturing, comforting, compassionate, empathetic side of God where when we are hurting and when we are broken, he just wants to come and give us a hug. How cool is that? You know, there are times when we need the advice of a father, a time we need correction and discipline of a father or of the father. There are times where we need to go to a friend, like a brother, that we can go to a friend, we can go to our brother, and that we can share stuff that's going on in our hearts because we know that our brother identifies with what we're going through. Allah Jesus. But there are times where we are broken inside. And we're hurting inside that we just need the compassionate, empathetic touch, you know, of the Holy Spirit that would come and just put his arms around us and say, hey, everything is okay. Put his arms around us and say, you know what? I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to bring healing to your life. How cool is that? The Holy Spirit came as a dove. And there's probably more. But there's just three attributes of a dove that I think gives a good brings revelation of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now it looks like we've lost the band, so I'm going to close here this morning. But maybe if we can just all stand. And if you want to just dim the lights, thanks, Damo. Just with everyone, just in their, in their space, and just with every eye closed, every head bowed. You know, this morning, you may need peace in your life. You may need the peace that only comes from God because of stuff that you're going through, and you can't get peace from any external experience. It's got to come from within. And maybe there's some trouble that's going on in your own heart. Maybe you need peace. Well, this morning, I just want you just to cry out to the Lord. You know, you can do it softly, but just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I just pray for your peace to come this morning. Maybe this morning you need the purity of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some behavior that you've been stuck in that you haven't been able to change, and you've been trying to change this behavior in your own strength, but you can't do it in your own strength. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, I just want to ask you this morning, if that is you, why don't you just hold out your arms just where you're standing and just ask the Holy Spirit just to come and just to fill you with that purity once again. Or there might be people here, you are troubled, you are hurting, you are broken inside. And that, you know what, you just need the love and a hug from the Holy Spirit. You just need his healing power just to come and just to wash over your heart. If that's you, why don't you just hold out your hands this morning? I'm just going to pray a prayer just over every single circumstance there. And then we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and would just fill us, would give us that peace, would bring that purity, or would come and bring that comfort and that nurture that we need. So if you're comfortable with holding your hands out, please do that this morning and let me just pray. Lord, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is with us always. He's the one that comes to our side to help us in our time of need. But I thank you that the Holy Spirit comes to bring us peace. When our lives are troubled, when there is a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of fear that's going on in our own hearts because of the things that we're facing, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit can come and just bring peace. And so for those, Lord, who are facing an issue or facing circumstances, Lord, that it's causing anxiety and it's causing fear and it's causing doubt and things like that, I just pray your Holy Spirit would come and bring peace right now. Lord, let your peace just wash over their hearts right now in Jesus' name. For those, Lord, who are struggling with behavior, maybe struggling with sinful behavior, it might be an addiction, whatever, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would come and just invade and just wash over their hearts with your purity. Lord, I pray for your power to help them to overcome some of these challenges when it comes to changing behavior. And Lord, for those who are broken and for those who are hurting on the inside, Lord, just for things that have happened, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and you would fill them fresh again. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your nurturing nature, your comforting nature, your compassionate nature, your empathetic nature would come and just fill their hearts afresh in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just declare and we just pray for healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to close it right here, right now, and I just want to encourage you all. If anyone needs prayer for anything, you want to come out and you kind of think, no, I need prayer for this, please come out. I'm available here to pray. If not, please stay around, have a cup of coffee, have some scones, and you know, just connect and fellowship with one another. And I just want to pray God's blessing over you. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Monday through to Saturday. And then we'll see you all back here in the house next week.